Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A stolen election gave us this law. We're going to be talking about it on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead.
You know, we've recently discussed, Matt, about the IRS agreed that the Johnson Amendment should not muzzle pastors from talking about political issues or political campaigns. We discussed that, but this is a different angle.
Yeah, this is a law that was born out of political revenge. The Johnson Amendment should never have existed. It was born out of political revenge following a stolen election. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And it was done specifically to silence Christians, people of faith, people of conservative values. And now after seven decades of damage to America's pulpits, we finally have the chance to end it. Certainly, this consent decree that the IRS is entering into is very helpful. It's narrow in the sense of its application, and it applies obviously to the particular cases involving this particular lawsuit. But it is a step in the right direction where the IRS admits that it should not be used against churches. We need to actually repeal the Johnson Amendment. There is a bill that is pending in Congress that would actually do just that. But before we talk about that, let's talk a little bit about some of the fascinating history of this particular amendment. Going back to 1948, then Congressman Lyndon Baines Johnson, he was locked in a heated battle in the Texas Democratic primary for United States Senate. And after a bitter and inconclusive first round, the runoff vote showed Johnson losing to the former governor, Coke Stevenson.
But you know, interesting, then 6 days after the polls closed, does this sound familiar? A new batch of ballots suddenly appeared from Precinct 13 in rural James Wells County with 202 votes for Johnson and just one for Stevenson.
Yeah. So, wow. And these particular ballots were in alphabetical order in the same handwriting. Mm. And so they magically appeared 6 days after the polls closed.
Wow.
202 votes. They were very close in this runoff. Johnson was losing to former Governor Coke Stevenson. And then 6 days later, Box 13 or Precinct 13, there's actually a movie called Box 13, and it's about this precinct, Precinct 13.
But you know, you don't hear much about this election being stolen. I guess they just all put it under the rug after it happened.
Well, they did at the beginning. And so what happened is 202 ballots magically appeared 6 days after the close of the election. They were all in alphabetical order. They were all in the same handwriting. And 202 votes were for Johnson and one vote for Stevenson. And that allowed Johnson to squeak by with a razor-thin victory of 87 votes out of 988,295 votes that were cast.
Wow.
And that launched Johnson into the United States Senate. Of course, that gave him the platform to later run for president or vice president, and then become president when President Kennedy was assassinated.
Then he was a part of initiating this whole Johnson Amendment, which has since muzzled pastors from talking about political issues ever since then.
Yeah, and just a little bit of more, even more wrap up on the background of this and why this is so bad. It was a vendetta. It was revenge. Because the reason why he proposed this is because there were some nonprofit organizations when he was running for Senate that opposed him.
Mm-hmm.
And to get back at them and to impose revenge and to silence them, he ultimately proposed the Johnson Amendment, and it became part of the IRS code in 1954 with no debate. And it was solely to silence his critics. It was to silence the church. It was to silence any nonprofit organization. And of course, churches are part of that umbrella of nonprofit organizations, 501c3 organizations, tax deductibility type of organizations that are silenced and have been silenced since 1954. But there has been a lot of information that's come out since that stolen election, and that's why we know for a fact it was stolen. There was actually a witness who was scheduled to testify and was murdered. So there's murder involved. There's cover-up involved. There is a person toward the end of his life that ultimately confessed to what they did and how they actually stuffed the ballot box with these fake ballots to get Johnson over the top. So Johnson was not an ethical person.
No.
He started off the United States Senate stealing the election. He was part of that process. His staff clearly was. It's been well known. Then he becomes a United States Senator. Then he puts forth this Johnson Amendment to silence pastors in churches. And then there's all kinds of questions and so forth about any role that he might have had in the transition of his vice presidency to president during the assassination of John F. Kennedy. That's a whole different subject matter. But there's also issues about Johnson and his role in Vietnam. He's a character that has a lot of cloud over him. And so he's the one that since 1954, seven decades, we have had this Johnson Amendment in place, and it has been solely to silence nonprofit organizations, including churches and pastors.
Well, the good news is we have two legislators that have introduced legislation to finally repeal this amendment. And now with Republicans holding the House, Senate, and the White House, this is a great opportunity to finally get rid of and bury this amendment.
Yeah, right now, I mean, we have the best opportunity. I served on a commission that was requested by Senator Grassley to review IRS laws involving churches. And one of them was the Johnson Amendment. And we proposed a repeal of the Johnson Amendment. We had language that we drafted as part of our committee. Back then, of course, it didn't go anywhere because you didn't have the kind of leadership that we have now in the White House. But now we have a president in the White House, Donald Trump, who is ready to repeal the Johnson Amendment. He's encouraging pastors and churches to be able to speak up and not be intimidated. Now we have an IRS that comes forth for the very first time in 70-some years to say this should not be applied to churches, particularly when they're speaking to their congregation from the pulpit or in the church service, speaking basically like over a family dinner is what they say during the consent decree. It's kind of like you shouldn't have the government come in and control those conversations. So now we have the IRS admitting that this is improper, but it's still on the books. And so now we've got Representative Mark Harris from North Carolina and Senator James Lankford, Republican from Oklahoma. They've introduced legislation to finally repeal the Johnson Amendment, the Religious Free Speech Fairness Act. We have the momentum, people, and now we just need to take it across the line and ultimately repeal this Johnson Amendment.
Oh, I remember during his first campaign, President Trump saying that we needed to get rid of the Johnson Amendment.
Yeah.
So back then, he was already campaigning against this amendment, and we still haven't gotten to that point, but there is hope now.
There's hope now. So right now, although the IRS has currently modified its stance on the Johnson Amendment, it remains in the books, and now we have an opportunity to finally repeal it. I think we're closer now to being able to repeal it than we've ever been. I encourage you to go to lc.org. We have an email. Go down into our past emails. And it's entitled, A Stolen Election Gave Us This Law. A Stolen Election Gave Us This Law. And this is specifically about the Johnson Amendment. You can fax members of the House and Senate. You can sign a petition to members of the House and Senate and encourage them to bring free speech back to the pulpits. This Johnson Amendment repeal, actually the bill that is being proposed by the House and the Senate, has the language that we drafted a number of years ago when I was on this Congressional Task Force Committee regarding this issue. So it frees up churches and pastors and other nonprofit 501c3s. Right now, this particular resolution, this agreement with respect to the IRS, it applies to churches whenever you're basically communicating from the pulpit. But it doesn't go much broader than that, and it doesn't apply to other 501c3 organizations that are not churches, which it should. We need to have a full repeal. We need to have new language that protects First Amendment free speech rights for all people. For more information, go to lc.org/churches. That's lc.org/churches.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.